there are certain requirements that people have.
Well, it really is a small crowd.
There are certain requirements that people have when it comes to the matzav that we have in Eretz Yisrael. Let's discuss. Here are the issues. The major issues are the following. People start to get a little antsy. Start saying to themselves, what are we supposed to do for everything in Eretz Yisrael? How are we supposed to help? What can we do? What should we do? So the obvious answer is the daven. The problem with that is, I'll tell you for myself, I can't speak for anybody else here, I don't feel much for the matzahs of those in Eretz Yisrael. I don't feel for the soldiers there. I feel bad about that. And I felt absolutely horrible when I started thinking about it yesterday, and I said, all right, I got to think about the matzahs in Eretz Yisrael. And I said to myself, to be honest with you, I don't feel a thing. I'm not under fire. I purposely listened. Somebody sent me online. I purposely listened during Night Seder last night to a woman speaking about what it was like to have all these Kassam rockets falling down on her, going all around these places, what it's like for that to happen to her. I purposely listened to it because I wanted to feel what kind of pain she was in. And I felt horrible because after everything was said and done, I still didn't feel anything. I know how she felt to always think, well, maybe a rocket's going to fall down on me today. No, she felt, but I couldn't like bring myself to cry. Maybe it's because I'm a guy, but I couldn't get myself to cry. I couldn't get myself to really like sit there and just feel it. I couldn't feel it. When I sit there and I say Tehillim in the morning, it's just not there. It's just not there. I just don't feel it. I felt like that's a huge chisaron. So what is that? Well, why can't we feel it? There's another Jew in pain and you don't feel it? Another Jew. We have an army that's out there fighting. We have cities that are just under duress, we'll call it. Under duress. And we don't feel it. So what is it? Why hasn't there been a change in our davening? Why hasn't there been a little bit of a difference in our learning? I know, who was it again? Rav Asher Zelig Rubinstein spoke earlier this week. Rav Rubinstein did say that every time that you're learning, you should have kavana to kill an Arab. You should have kavana that 70 of them die, and that rocket will blow up in the sky, and then whatever. I understand that. So yeah, for that day, it got me to keep saying like, oh, then let's go ahead and kill an Arab. Let's go. You know, that got me for the rest of the day. I must have killed like three. I think I got about three. I'm not positive. So that got me for a little bit, but still, like, that's just because I like killing, because I grew up with video games. You know, that's not because I feel bad about the matzahs. It's just because I feel great about, you know, like I finally get to play my games in real life. I say that's all it is. So where are we? What is this? So I heard Rabbi Yisrael Reisman spoke last night. He spoke throughout everywhere. They played it in Makor, but I didn't hear what he was saying. Happened to be, I looked up a Sichos Musar last night. I was told this morning this is what Rav Reisman spoke about. It's an unbelievable Sichos Musar. It's at the end of the Sefer, L'Regel HaMatzav. I'm going to quote from you different parts, and I'm literally going to read through most of the Sichos Musar. I'll add on a little bit, but I'm going to be saying it in the words of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. And to be honest with you, it literally speaks to you. It tells you everything you needed to know about this matzav. He's speaking about the Six-Day War. And let's also put in perspective. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was the type of person who used to go to Kever Rachel and cry like a baby. He used to go to Kever Rachel all the time and just sit there at the Kever and just cry. He felt the pain of Klal Yisrael. He felt it. He knew that there was something going on, and he felt the pain of every single yid, no matter who they were. That's a leader. That's a master. And that's the person who would be able to write something like this. And be able to tell you, what do we feel? What should we feel at this time? I still remember Victor Miller. I don't listen to tapes in the car. I can't. I'm not a music guy either. I'm just one of those guys that spaces out usually. Oh, well, hopefully on the road. But I can't listen to tapes in the car. It doesn't do anything for me. But there was a time where I was very into tapes, and I always had these tapes, and I had Victor Miller tapes. And I still remember the best part of those tapes was the very, very end when you could ask any question you wanted. You could ask every question. People would answer. They'd ask crazy questions. Then, like, you know, I got shot down with my crazy question earlier today. But when a person asks a crazy question, what were dinosaurs? You know, like, well, where did the sitter come from? They asked some great questions. One of the questions that he asked him was, what can we learn from this plane crash that happened in Washington? I don't know what year it was. I don't know what happened. Apparently, there was a plane crash and a lot of people died. So what can we learn from that plane crash? This answer from Victor Miller floored me. Floored me. He said, what we can learn is that we don't value human life. Why? Because if Chazal were around and they saw a plane crash that took 150, 200 lives, they would immediately make a gzera. And the gzera would be, you can't fly in a plane. You hear that? And he said, and don't tell me that it's backwards logic. Oh, that the rabbis want to keep us back. They don't want to make any improvements. They don't want to go on and do more scientific research. It's because they value human life. And if there's a chance that 200 people would die from one thing, then you can't do it. It's sakana. So it's a sakana. You can't do it. That's what he said. I was floored. He can't fly in airplanes anymore. But what his point was is, you don't value human life. 200 people died. You hear about these things? These huge earthquakes in India? 60,000 people dead. You turn the page. 60,000 people! What happened with the tsunami? Tsunami, people felt bad for a little bit. So people, how many people died? How many people died? Oh, that's goyim. That's all you feel? One person dies in Eretz Yisrael. That should be enough to make sure they don't go to war. Have you noticed Jews don't normally go to war? Until we had this, we never went to war. We just took it. Hanukkah is the only real time that we went out to war. The times of the Shoftim before that. Was there any other time where we went out to war to go fight somebody? Was there any time where we celebrate a war? Why don't we go out to war? Because one person's life is worth us being under the shibud and giving money to another nation. Oh, we're going to have to pay them taxes? So what? A person's going to die. It's just one person. Do you know what one person is? One person. Let alone two, or three, or 100, or 200. There's a kash, okay, we have to defend ourselves, because we're going to die if we don't defend ourselves. That takes a gadol to paskin. No offense, not Ehud Barak. So let's try to understand. Mamaisa, we're in self-defense mode. It's too late. They didn't ask the Gedolim, but they're there. They're there. So now what do? So we definitely have to daven. How do we know that we have to daven? Pasuk in Matos. Elef lamateh, elef lamateh. They chose a certain amount of people to go out to war against Midian. Elef lamateh, elef lamateh. 1,000 per shevet. So the question is, why do you have to repeat it? It was only 1,000 per shevet, 12,000 people altogether that went to war, so why do you have to repeat it? So Chazal say in Bamidbar Rabba, the elef lamata mikol shevet v'shevet hu lemelchama, the elef asheni mikol shevet v'shevet hu letfila. 1,000 people went to war, 1,000 people were chosen as soldiers to daven for those soldiers who were fighting. Every person had another person that was davening for them. Davening for them. Said every person would, you're going to be for him, and you're going to be for him. And can you imagine that soldier was, oh, I got him? He's davening for me? But you had to have 1,000 people to daven. Now, the Midbar Rabbah that says that when they went to war, they didn't just stop, go out to war and just fought. They had a person davening for them, specifically back, where? Look, that's going to come. Seems back at home. And if you don't do that, the Mabul is called Mei Noach. The waters of Noach in Yeshaya. It's in the Haftorah for Parshas Noach. Why is it called Mei Noach? Because Noach didn't daven for them. So the Mabul was the fault of Noach. He didn't daven for them. He didn't let them have a chance to be saved, even though there weren't 10 tzaddikim in the world. So we know from Avraham, you don't have to daven for such a thing. But I say he didn't daven for them. So what is it? It's Noach's Mabul. He's at fault. Moshe Rabbeinu blames Bnei Yisrael. He says to Bnei Yisrael, if you would daven for me, I would make it inside Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu davened 550 15 tefillos to enter Eretz Yisrael. Gematria of Bas Chana. Davened 515 tefillos. None of them were answered. But he said to Bnei Yisrael, if you would have davened, I would have been saved. If you would have said something, if you would have said, Hashem, let Moshe live. Had you all davened together, I would have lived. And I would have brought you inside Eretz Yisrael, and Mashiach would have come. We'd have had the Beis HaMikdash, and everything would be good. But you didn't. And it's your fault. Because he didn't do that, everything went bad. That's my Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen to this line. At the end of the Sikha, I said, I'm going to quote you in Hebrew. Daharuge Lod in Kol Bria Yechol Lama B'Mechitzas. It's a Gemara Bava Basra. Those who were killed by in Lod, nobody's able to stand in their Mechita. Nobody can be where they are in Olam Haba. Humishum Shemasru Nafsham Bad Yisrael, because they gave their lives for Bnei Yisrael. We don't know how from they were. They kept Shabbos. They kept Kashrus. If they even knew what Shabbos and Kashrus was, it doesn't say that. Anybody who was killed in Lod, nobody's able to stand in the Mechitza. It's a Gemara Bava Basra, Yoram Abayis. Mumishum Shemasru Nafsham Biad Yisrael. The Kazani Omer Al Eilesh Mosrim Nafsham Avur Hatzalasenu. I say that about those that give their lives for out saving us. She'ein Kola Olam Yachol Lama B'Mechitzasam. The entire world can't stand where they're standing. The entire world. Doesn't say how from they are. The achiyuv sheish aleinu lispalo alam who believe gvul. The chiyuv that we have to daven for them is without borders. Shirakavur poseach pesach l'ravero amru nafsho chayavlo. Kavachomer l'misho mosem nafsho ba'adenu achiyuv aleinu believe gvul hu. We should be davening all day long for them. I know we're not on the front lines. We're not in there in Eretz Yisrael. We're not there around those areas that are getting bombed. We're not even close. We're not even close. But we have a chiv to daven for them. They're trying to save us. I have four brothers there. Two sister-in-laws. I have four brothers there. All but they're in Yerushalayim. Doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. Let's put things into perspective. I know right now all we're really doing is we're fighting the Gaza Strip. There's bombs from Hezbollah, there's things coming down from Hezbollah, up in Lebanon. There's always the chance that Iran will get involved. Always the chance that Iran will get involved. And if that ends up happening, and America still refuses to come into the war because we have a great new president who's not going to get involved in any wars, liberals, so then what happens? You know what they said? 60,000 people in Iran, in some university over there, 60,000 people said they're willing to commit suicide to kill Jews to get them out of Gaza. 60,000 people in Iran. Thank God they can't get in. I mean, then again, it's not much to, when you're in Iran, to be like, yeah, I'd be there. I'd kill myself. I realize that they might be speaking, you know. Obviously, they're being a little facetious, or at least they're pretending a little too much. But still, 60,000 people are willing to go to Eretz Yisrael to kill Jews? Can you imagine that hatred? You don't think Saudi Arabia and Jordan can stay out of it for just a little bit? You don't think eventually they're going to get involved? You don't think eventually, if everybody else gets involved, that finally everybody will just say, like, I just kill them. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? And are we so assured that our army is that good? Are we so assured? They would just sit there. I mean, I that's part of the problem. They would just feel, like, it's a great army. What do the Arabs have? The Arabs have like a rocks? You know? And then these rockets that they make out of like sand and gum? Like, it's like, well, like, come on. You really think we're going to lose? You really think we're going to lose? Guys, let's understand warfare. Did we win in Vietnam when America went to Vietnam? Did we win when we went to Korea? Did the Hashmonaim win when the Greeks came to Eretz Yisrael? Why? Well, what happened? Guerrilla warfare is very, very hard. You can't kill these people. If you want to stay hidden, you'll stay hidden. If you want to hide behind civilians, you'll hide behind civilians. If you want to wait in a year to start your rockets again, you'll wait a year. How do you win this war? Are you going to find every single person and be like, dude, are you a militant? Yes. Boom. Are you a militant? No. Okay, go over here. So what are you going to do? It's a Capella. It's a Capella. How in the world are you supposed to win this war? And every single minute, they're thinking to themselves, I can kill myself and kill a bunch of Jews with me. What do you do for kamikaze fighters? You know what America did? You know what America did? They threw an atom bomb. That's what they did. when they knew that there were all these kamikaze fighters in Japan, they said, well, we can't fight them. We're going to lose hundreds of thousands, if not millions of soldiers. So what are we going to do? They made an atom bomb. And they dropped it, and they're just like, you want to fight? I said, you just melted our faces off. You want us to fight? Well, that's the only thing you can do. What do you just? You can't fight suicide bombers. I mean, eventually you'll say to yourself, maybe they'll kill themselves eventually. They're not going to kill themselves eventually. There's always going to be more. Because you made my father kill himself. So now I'm going to try to kill you. You made my brother kill himself. So now I'm going to try to kill you. It's not going to end. Not until Mashiach comes. It's not going to end. So what do? So you keep fighting them. And then you have to kill civilians. Then you have the UN, which is an unbelievable organization just made to hate Jews. All of a sudden gets up there and says, well, let's... And then what? Then what? Are you expecting another six-day war? Even in the six-day war, who won that fight? Who won that fight? The ones who were small and insignificant with not a good army were able to defeat all the major armies of the other nations. You know why? It's simple. The strong ones don't always win. Don't always win, especially when it comes to these types of tactics and warfare when you go down. It's not so easy to win this. So let's really put things in perspective. Are we going to win this war? Probably not. Probably not. So what do we have to do? We have to daven. And daven during Tekah B'Shofar. Gadol L'Chayruseinu V'Sanes L'Kabetz Kol Yoseinu. To daven that I actually want to be in Eretz Yisrael now. To say that every single day. Three times a day. Not on Shabbos. Three times a day. To really say, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Do you really? You want to go live down there? I talked to my cousin. Not for very long. Moshe Baro. He's in... I forgot what the city is called. All the way down south. With an S. Anybody remember? Sderot. Sderot. Thank you very much. He's in a yeshiva in Sderot. Why did he choose that yeshiva? I have no idea. He's in yeshiva in Sderot. So I asked him, what's it like when we were there a month ago? What's it like? He's like, you're in the bomb shelter most of the time. He's in the bomb shelter most of the time. And again, I didn't get affected by it. I'm like, oh, that's too bad. Inside, I'm like, la, 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 la. It didn't affect me. But I asked him, I wanted to see, like, what's it like for these people? What's it like for them? That's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. What are they going to do? Atom bomb the place. And those people, where are they? Noah got punished. He didn't even feel the pain for them. He didn't feel anything for them. Esther got punished. Esther was told by Mordechai that if you don't go ahead and daven for Bnei Yisrael, you think you're going to hide in the base of Malchus? You'll be killed. Eventually you'll be found, you'll be killed. You think we're safer in America? Do you realize who's becoming president in only a couple days? Think we're safer here? Well, it's much better here. Because he may take off his mask and become Yosef HaTzadik. You really think that's going to happen? We're much safer here, yeah. Nothing's going to happen here. We're for sure good. If you feel the pain, you'll be there. Listen to this line. It's a famous story. Where Rav Chaim is sitting in the Miklat, near the Mir Yeshiva, where the Mir Yeshiva was in Mea Sharim, in Beis Yisrael, I should say. And a woman was down there, a widow. Widow, I'm sorry. An aguna, whose husband ran away from her. And she said out loud, Ribbono Shalom, I'm mochel to my husband. He ran away from me years ago. And I've been in aguna for years. I'm mochel to him. All the bizayin that he was mevazim me. And the great pain that he's given me all this time. So you should be mochel us. Says Rav Chaim, he has no question that the reason why they were saved in that miklat, even though a bomb went off on top of their heads, bomb went off right on top of their heads, so without a question, it was because of this woman. Because she decided to be mochel somebody. Says Rav Chaim, you know what you could do? Davening is one thing. Feeling their pain is one thing. Work on yourself to the point where you, if you can't stand somebody for whatever reason, if it's, I can't stand Brian, go ahead and don't show it. Just say, go up to him. Say, how's everything going? How's everything doing? When he annoys you, just be like, oh, wait, I gotta go. Just run away. Say, you don't get annoyed. Be mochel somebody. Something that somebody did to you. Just be mochel it. And that could somewhat help you to start feeling the pain of other people. Start saying that, you know what, maybe other people are really maybe the world isn't just revolved around me. Everybody's sitting there looking at me, watching on a big TV in Shemayim. Chassam, they don't have TVs. Computer screen in Shemayim, without the internet. And seeing me over there, and seeing how I am, and watching how I am. Maybe that's what it's supposed to be. It's not. You gotta be mochel yourself. All right. So let's get down to the meat of it, and let's finish it off. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zikomar Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Mavez, Lo Dayan L'Rashayim She'enen Charedin V'Atzevin Miyom HaMisa. It's not enough for the Rashayim that they're not afraid or sad about the day of death. Ela Shalibam Bari Lahen Ka'ulam. Their hearts are open like a wide hallway. They're healthy. They're all good with it. Tapela. Isn't it an unbelievable thing? If you watched a person die, if you saw a person die, you would probably be affected by it. But a coroner, what happens to a coroner? Guy deals with dead people all the time. Picks them up, throws them on the table, puts them in a body bag, puts his eyes, does this, does that, and the other. Do you think he gets affected by death? How much do you think you get affected by death? When you watch the news every single day and you hear 60,000 people dead, and then you hear one person died in Israel. It's only one. It's 59,999 less people than who would kill themselves to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's a person dead. It's one person dead. How in the world can we not be affected by it? And here's, it's beyond a tragedy that we've grown accustomed to the fact that that's there. I want us to really sit there and think. I want you to really put a face on it. Think of somebody that you love more than anyone in the world and put their face on the person who died. When you see a picture of a bloodied person in the newspaper, put their face, take away their face, and put a face of someone you love on that picture. Your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your child. Put their face on that person. So that's going to affect you. Just put their face on. You don't have to do cut and paste. It's not arts and crafts time. It's just picture it in your head. Say that's the person. And think of someone you love. And if that doesn't affect you, there's nothing that can affect you. Nothing's going to get you. Put someone that you would never imagine that you could live without up on that picture. And say to yourself, one person dead. That one person was my father. That one person was my wife. That one person was my son. Then you might sit there and you think to yourself, oh my gosh. Oh, one person's passed away. And it's unbelievable, no? The newspapers don't list how many people were injured. Is that unbelievable? Person loses an arm. At least he's alive. He lost an arm. They're going to put that down? How in the world, when they do these things, they go in the paper, 500 people dead, 600 people dead, however many people dead. How many people were injured? How many people are in serious condition? How many people are in shock? How many people won't be able to get a job for the rest of their lives because they went into shock? How many people are like that? Those people, well, at least they're alive. They're not living. And it's all because of that. Those people aren't mentioned. And put your parents or your kids or your brothers or your sisters' face on them. Your best friend's face on them. And look at it. So what is this? And feel it. And say to yourself, what am I supposed to be looking at? What am I supposed to feel? You know why we don't feel it? Because we're not there, says Rav Chaim. We're too far away. When a person moves himself away, you don't feel it anymore. It's shown to us by Hagar. What did Hagar do with Yishmael? She put him down in the brush and she walked away. Al Erev Emosi Yelet. I don't want to see my son die. Because when you walk away and you're farther away, you're not going to see it. What did Yocheved do? She put Moshe Rabbeinu in the river and walked away. She couldn't take it. She couldn't see. So when you're farther away, you're not going to feel it. You know what that Elef Lamata, those 1,000 people who were davening for the other 1,000, where were they? They were there. They were right behind the soldiers. They were davening right by the soldiers. Because you can't feel it when you're at home. You can't feel it when you're farther away. You have to be there to feel it. So we can't be there. We're not going to really feel it. So make yourself feel it. Find a way to make yourself feel it. And sit there. And when Tehillim is said, say a kapitel Tehillim at home. Say a kapitel Tehillim when no one's looking. Try to make yourself cry. Try to bring something out. Try to say to yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us. Because if we don't feel it, then nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. That's what a leader is. That's what a king of Klal Yisrael was like. To feel the pain of his nation. That's what he needs to feel. There's a very big difference between Yosef HaTzadik and Yehuda. Yehuda became the Melech because he felt the pain of Binyamin. He took on a responsibility and he said, I'll do everything it takes for Binyamin. And not only that, even if Binyamin does something wrong, I'll be the slave instead of him. He's willing to put himself instead of Binyamin. That's a leader. Yosef HaTzadik, on purpose, but went ahead and did not feel the pain of the Shvatim. He cried. He did cry, but he wouldn't give up. And for that, Yehuda became the king, not Yosef. Because Yehuda felt it more for Klal Yisrael. And he could do more for Klal Yisrael. Ay, there's so much here. Again, it's L'Regel HaMatzav. Six Memarim all together that goes all the way through. And just don't feel the pain. So what do we have? Let's go through. We started off saying that we don't feel their pain. We're not there. We can't feel it. And Reb Chaim says that's exactly why we can't feel it, because we don't feel like we're there. We can't picture ourselves in the front lines. We can't really get ourselves to daven for them. Otherwise, it should happen automatically. It shouldn't be anything that you have to strive for or try for or anything like that. But there are certain things we can do. One way of saving people is to be mochel on our avonos. Mochel other people for their avonos to us, excuse me. To mochel other people and to actually feel what they're feeling and to get involved in them. Once you do that and you start feeling the pain of other people, then you start putting a face on those mason. And start thinking to yourself, you know, one person dead is a major issue. One person injured is a major issue. One person in shock is a major issue. When you start feeling that way, and you start putting faces on the mason, faces on those people, you start feeling like it's your relative, then you might start feeling a little bit more. And then I don't guarantee, and I don't think it'll necessarily change our tefillos or our learning, but I think you might be able to come up with a moment during the day where you say your own little kapitel tehillim. You just say one quick shir malos. You say one quick shir la malos. You might stop yourself from doing something stupid that you would have done otherwise. You might stop yourself from that. And that one little thing could lead up to, as Rev Rubenstein said, an Arab dying instead of a Jew. One of our enemies dying instead of a Jew. This is the hardest war in the world. We have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make those rockets blow up in their hands so that they learn that every single time they try to bomb a Yid, they get killed. For there to be such a nace galui, that they kill themselves instead of us killing them. That they do it themselves. Go through Shoftim. Look at all the wars. Do they ever have weapons? Strange. Strangest thing in the world. Just look around. Anybody ever have a weapon? When Shaul fights against, in the beginning, when he fights against the Plishtim, goes up against Moab and Ammon, he didn't have a single weapon. Yonasan and Shaul had two swords that were made of very hard lead. It's the only two things they had. They destroyed people. How did they destroy them? They got confused and started killing themselves. That can still happen. But that comes with our davening. That comes when you have Shmuel and Avi davening for you. So we have to daven for that. That's the only way to win this war. We're not going to win the war by going from house to house with a gun. That's not what we're going to do. We're not going to win the war by bombing every single government office they've ever had. That's not going to do it. We're not going to win the war by sending in more troops or letting Stephen go back to Eretz Yisrael. That's not going to happen. It can help, but it's not going to happen. The only way we win this war is if a person sits and learns. A person sits and really feels their pain. And that feeling of their pain causes that soldier on the Arab side to kill himself without any Jews around. That's all we can do. We should feel it. Shabbos is not a time for sadness. That's the one time that you should not do it on. Shabbos is the one time where you should not think of this at all. Most of Shabbos, you should cry like a baby after Avdallah. Friday, you should cry up until Shabbos long, up until Shabbos starts. Once Shabbos starts, don't think about it. Don't think about it. Have your davening be just besimcha, and that in itself works. That's a kiyum of a mitzvah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in which that mitzvah itself will be able to be a, something that helps the soldiers in Eretz Yisrael. That's how we got to start. All right, Rav Chaim. To be like Rav Chaim, to be a leader, you have to cry whenever you go to Kavar Rachel. I told you, the only time I've ever cried, I think, was when Simba's dad died in Lion King. Very sad times, very sad times. If you have to, think of that. Just do something. Should be, guys. Everything should be good. Have a good Shabbos.